Easter's meant a lot of different things to me over the years. When I was a little boy, I celebrated Easter like a happy pagan. Nobody told me about Ostara, the goddess of springtime, but I worshipped the melting snow, the green grass, new flowers, and bunny rabbits of the season. The best thing about Easter was the Easter baskets full of candy. Getting together around the bowls of colored water to dye the eggs was fun, too. And then someone would hide them all over the house, and we'd search for them in the morning. Along with Halloween, Easter was one of the two candy holidays that held my year together. I can remember one Easter when I was about 6 or 7 years old. We'd gotten up early to find our baskets full of candy. I ate a whole chocolate bunny before we started the Easter egg hunt. I liked the eggs too and ate several. You know, there's just a slight taste of sulfur to 2-day-old hard-boiled eggs that's been sitting on the floor behind the television set all night. Then I had some jelly beans, and my mother, mindful of the need for a proper breakfast, insisted that I sit down at the table and have a bowl of Rice Chex. I guess it worked, because then I wasn't hungry anymore. Then we all got dressed up and we went to church. We must have arrived late because we had to sit up in the front row, right in front of where the minister was talking. I didn't feel so good. I can clearly remember him saying, "In the name of the Father and the Son and the..." when my stomach made a special offering of chocolate eggs and cereal right there at his feet. I was quickly rushed out the side door, and I don't remember going back in. I didn't think too much about Easter one way or another until I took catechism class in 7th and 8th grades, and this was when we were all supposed to learn about our Christian religion so that we would know what to believe in order to be confirmed as a member of the church. Well, I liked the stories about Jesus and all, but I was a little confused about the Easter story because I'd never heard of anyone else coming back from the dead. I said that I couldn't say that I believed something that didn't make sense to me, so I never did join the church. I had one professor in divinity school who said that there are lots of ways to read the Bible, but only one wrong way. Literally. If my church had allowed me to relate to the Bible as a storehouse of powerful myths and metaphor instead of historical facts, I might have joined. I still think that there's a great deal of wisdom in the Bible. Sometimes people have seemed to be selective about which of Jesus' lessons they considered important. I always wondered why so many Christians didn't seem to pay much attention to one of his main messages, which when he said we should love our enemies, that we should be generous and kind and helpful to everyone, whether they seemed to deserve it or not. In college, 6 years later, I had a summer job in a factory that started out okay, but they had laid off a bunch of workers, including me, and I was angry at first, but then I decided I'd make the most of it. I packed my knapsack and hit the road to hitchhike to the High Peaks area of the Rocky Mountains, where I spent the rest of the summer hiking and camping in the mountains near Nederland, Colorado. And this was quite an experience. The combination of the grandeur of the mountains, the simultaneous vastness and intimacy, produced a transformation that I could never have anticipated. It seemed that my mind and heart were as wide and as ancient as the earth herself. Day after day, hiking alone through the mountains opened me to new vistas within and without. Flowers, trees, animals, and even people I sometimes met seemed aglow with their own inner light. I'd sit for hours staring at the horizon or gazing at a campfire in the evening, gazing at the stars from an altitude so high and the air so clear they seemed as fat as lemons. Filled with awe, a sense of timelessness, and a deepening feeling of peace and joy, I began to wonder, is this a spiritual experience? With more than a little amazement, I realized that was what it was. It was like nothing I'd imagined from reading the religious literature. There weren't any visions of God's voices or even text messages from heaven. But all the sacred texts started to make a different kind of sense to me after that. I stumbled into a transcendent experience of something that was greater than myself, yet as close to me as my own breath and bones. Going back to school after that was kind of strange. I was so open and vulnerable. All my defenses had been burned away by the intensity of my time in the mountains. As the intensity of the experience faded, I was overwhelmed by what seemed to be the coarseness and cruelty of the world. I tried to connect with the inner light of people who thought I was just weird. Hurt, rebuffed, alienated, my joy turned into depression. I plodded along in a world that no longer felt so alive. Then, in the depths of despair, I somehow let go of being sad that I was sad and let myself experience my feelings. A strangely bittersweet melancholy swept into me. I looked at the trees and I found that nature's glow had returned. I could feel my divinity once again, only this time it was wrapped in sadness instead of joy. I realized that these transcendent feelings weren't dependent on my emotions. They weren't dependent on my feeling good. They were available all the time. Then I remembered Easter. And I wrote this poem. The beauty of now failed my grasp yesterday. Living and learning became crying and reaching. Desperately. The soul of nature lost its glow. The spirit of humankind lost its flow. For me, the earth was still yesterday. The God of a mountain took me where the stars did breathe, and living a day 1,000 hearts long, the song was all I could see. My fear and confusion made me forget the strength of my goodness and laid me a snare that strangled the hope of a wonderful reality. Today I remembered the yes of the world, the name of my foes and their crime. And so if I look at you and start to cry, it's because I'm seeing you for the first time. The spirit of my mind died yesterday. The joy of my life died yesterday. Christ was risen in me today. Two years later, as I struggled with what appeared to be a terminal cancer, the meaning of Easter became stronger still. It was quite a blow to face my own death at the age of 21. Anger, depression, denial, grief, bargaining, all the stages swept through me like a storm. But when I accepted that the end was inevitable, the storm was replaced by a transcendent peace like I'd known on the mountaintop. I was filled with a light that knew no fear of death's darkness, and I was surprised by joy once again. I felt I knew what it was like to hang on the cross and be in heaven at the same time. Overcoming my fear of death was what made it possible to live in death's shadow. Easter. Although not a Christian in any traditional sense, I was comfortable with my own interpretation of Easter. Later, when my daughter, Cypress, was little, I looked for a way to convey some of the ideas and values of Christianity without being churchy. I decided that C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia would be a good choice. We began, of course, with the lion, the witch, and the wardrobe. There's a point where Aslan, the mighty lion, permits himself to be ridiculed, reviled, disfigured, and murdered by the evil witch in order to save his young friends. And then the children spend a tearful night with his corpse in utter despair and sadness, cleaning his horrible wounds as best they can, and feeling guilty for their role in his death. By sunrise, however, his mane had regrown, his wounds healed, and his life had been restored, much to their amazement and relief. Aslan, of course, is the Christ symbol of this story. And at this point, reading to Cyprus, I was congratulating myself that I'd done a pretty good job when she said, "Dad, well, you know, if he was going to come, if he knew he was going to come right back to life, it wouldn't have been that big a deal to let them kill him." This stopped me cold. I hadn't really examined the Easter story that way, and it had just resonated with my own experience. I realized that the problem was with the unique nature of the hero. If Jesus was the only one ever to rise from death, it was about something that had been done for us, not something we had to live ourselves. In my version of Easter, Jesus is showing us the path we all have to walk, that we all face in many ways throughout our lives. It's the fear of death that keeps us from living fully. It's also reflected in the many anxieties and fears we face every day. Fear is like the stone that covers the tomb of our spiritual death. The lesson of Easter is that when we roll away the stone of our fear, our spirits can soar and we can be reborn to new hope, new joy, new love, new life. We can rise again and again. We truly can be reborn, not just once, but again and again and again, as we live in fearless harmony with the ongoing recreation of the world in each and every moment. May it be so.